The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, 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 what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 527. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Conspiracy!
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
And Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
All right, back with another one. As you may have guessed, some people are missing. Adam's apparently doing another podcast. So I don't know if we're going to be getting him on Sundays anymore. We'll have to talk to him about that.
Adam's got his side hustle now.
You got a side hustle. Yeah. Yeah. He's doing that TV podcast. So we'll figure it out. He'll be back on Thursday though. Brian said he was going to be out. Brett, obviously he's still on the mend. He's doing good though. He was asking us about builds and stuff in Monster Hunter. So he's doing good. And Carlos is currently flying over the Atlantic, heading back home. So he will be back on Thursday. Adam, as usual, was wrong. He's like, oh, he ain't coming back till April 30th. No, Carlos said March 30th. So Carlos will be back soon, and he will be joining us for Monster Hunter. But yeah, we got questions as always, a decent amount tonight. So let's get into it. A lot of questions about the Switch 2 for obvious reasons, because the big reveal is going to be happening on Wednesday, April 2nd. So get ready for that. Obviously, we're going to be talking about that in the main show, But yeah, start off here. Mr. Jolly Yellow Nerd. For the last few generations, Nintendo has released at least one game that ends up on both the console going off into the sunset and the new console that's coming in. Will Nintendo do that with Switch 1 to Switch 2? And if so, what game could it be? Metroid Prime 4 seems like the likely one. I agree with that assessment.
Yeah, I agree with that.
What do you think, Chris?
Metroid Prime 4.
Mm-hmm.
See, while they did a collection at one point, so back on the Wii, there was a trilogy put out way back then. They had 1, 2. So they could put that out again.
No, I'm talking about do you think Metroid Prime 4 will be the game that's out on both systems?
It's the
transitional
Twilight
game.
It's the Twilight Princess of this generation. Yeah,
Twilight Princess, Breath of the Wild. Yeah.
I agree. I do agree with that. Yeah. That seems likely. How many more games will be like that? I doubt many, but probably that one.
Yeah. The question you were answering is the following one. Rich, what do you think? You think which game do you think is going to be like the transition game?
Well, I will be quite disappointed if it is Metroid, but obviously because Nintendo has made a promise to their fans, it probably is that game. As I told Chris, I want that Metroid game to only be Switch 2 exclusive.
Uh-oh.
They're not going to do that. So.
Yeah, I agree. They're not going to do that, but I also think they should make it exclusive, but it is what it is. and the thing is, and Chris, you correct me if I'm wrong, this game was originally announced for the Switch, right?
Yeah, the logo was shown soon after the Switch launch. Reggie announced it. Along with Bayonetta 3 and a couple other games. It was one of the major announcements back in 2017.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it would be really fucked up if they announce this game for the Switch and then it doesn't come to the Switch. Not that we haven't seen companies do that. Remember The Last Guardian, right? That was supposed to be a PS3 game. It was only on PS4. So, who knows? But I think in this case, again, Nintendo has a history of having that one, at least one game that's on both systems, big major first party game. So I think this is it. So I agree with you, Jolly Yellow Nerd, for sure. All right. The other question, we got Metroid Prime 1 remaster last year with the Switch 2 releasing. Will we get the remaining Metroid Prime games remastered on Switch 1 or will they be on Switch 2 instead? And Chris, you already kind of started that answer, so you might as well keep going.
I think it would behoove them to bring back that trilogy because they've already compiled the three games in one collection. I don't know why that hasn't persisted or why they haven't done it yet, but if you're going to go hard on Metroid, if it's going to be your transition game, then why not just port that they already did the work. Port the trilogy. I don't know if you need some upscaling or if there's some shit in the Switch 2 that's going to do it, like, you know, the remastering engine.
Yeah.
Just that would be a key of this, right? Because this is the fourth game, right? There's plenty of people, if they're getting it now, they don't even know. Those games came out on GameCube. They have no idea about the other Prime games. So I would say put out the trilogy. It exists. Just recompile it. Put it on the... That's your remaster.
Yeah, and then my question is, do you think it'll come out alongside Metroid Prime 4 or maybe a little later?
Maybe a little later. I don't know. We'll see. I don't want to predict it. It would make sense to launch it around the same time, but who knows what...
Yeah, because I would think, like, maybe they don't want to cannibalize sales potentially of the new game. Like, maybe give the new game its shine, and then maybe during the holidays... You'll drop them. By the way, I say holidays because the reports are saying that Switch 2 is probably going to drop in June. We don't know that, obviously, but that's what the reports are saying. So if you drop Metroid Prime 4, Rich, right, like in summer, maybe you could drop the remaster collection during the holidays. What do you think about that?
Well, if I was working at Nintendo, I would drop that remaster collection at launch and save Metroid Prime 4 for the holiday.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, that I agree with that.
Then, like, so what would be your killer game at launch then?
Metroid Prime 4.
No, Rich just said save that for later.
Oh, that's easy.
Yeah, okay, which one? Mario Kart?
Yeah, there you go. Since they showed off in the teaser. So whatever this evolved Mario Kart version is, where there's more drivers, I guess that for sure. Yeah. I expect that to definitely launch day one.
Personally, I would say don't even wait for the Switch 2 at all, because you know all the old Switch games are going to run on the Switch 2, right? Release the Metroid trilogy, like,
soon. That's a good point. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, do that first. Then once if it comes out in June, you know, you that'll be the killer app for, you know, the 4 will be the killer app then. Or if it's holiday season, you still got it.
Yeah.
So yeah, they should announce that remaster at this.
They should have
announcement this week.
Yeah, they should. Yeah, like
it should be like, you could get it right now.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah,
there you go.
Right now. Yeah, that'd be the smart thing. But Nintendo does his own thing. But yeah, that would be good. Announcement: you could get this right now. Get ready for Metroid Prime 4. Yeah, we'll see if we get that right. Give us the credit. You know. All right, man. Moving on. Monkey Man 652. He goes, "Hey guys, longtime listener." Yeah, that's a new name. But you know, thank you for the support, man. Shout out to you. And I like the name. I wonder if it's inspired by Wukong, you know,
or Monkey Man O'Brien.
Or the Monkey King. It's a lot of monkeys.
Or Monkey Man the movie.
Yes, there you go. All right. So his question is: I was just wondering, do you think Nintendo will do something to prevent people from scalping the Switch 2? So Nintendo has already said that their plan is to just release a fuck ton of Switch 2s, just basically, you know, which is kind of interesting because that's like against their usual policy of like artificial scarcity. But they, you know, this one of the reports claimed that actually, yeah, Nintendo themselves said, it's not like a rumor. They said, we want to have as much stock as possible to disincentivize people from scalping it, because if you can just buy a system, then you won't have to scalp it. So that's their apparent plan. Whether that happens, we don't know. But yeah, Chris, what do you think about that?
That's the only tactic they could have to stop scalpers is flood them up, because it's really up to the points of to mitigate that. Right. And Walmart doesn't do anything. I don't care about Walmart Plus or any of that shit. None of that stuff works. It's never worked. So if scalpers can scam the system by 5,000, 10,000 units at a store, bleed the store out, they're going to do it. And there's nothing Nintendo can do. I'm sure they've tried. It's just going to either that has played into their artificial scarcity a lot, because people like wait for the system, or if they get desperate enough, they're going to go on eBay and pay triple the price for it. But I would say direct sales, if Nintendo's going to do direct sales and cap their own sales, like one or two units per sale and that's it, do something, that would help. And work with online retailers like Amazon to do the same, because they have better scalp protection. But the stores, Target, Walmart, Best Buy, they don't really, I would expect they're going to get hit.
Oh, man. Would they do anything like, you kind of mentioned it, like a Nintendo, like, you know how Sony, you could buy the PS5 right from their store. Would Nintendo do something like that?
I would think so. I think if you're going to put more in the market, then you put a way to purchase direct, right? They are selling some things direct, so I don't see why not just make the Switch to a direct sale, right? You mitigate, you limit the units sold, you check IPs, whatever. You put things in place to prevent scalping, so nobody can just put a bot on your site and buy 1,000 or 2,000, and that would help.
Yeah. Rich, what do you think?
So Nintendo has a plan. Will that plan be successful? Absolutely not. I mean, come on, guys. We saw what happened with PlayStation 5, and obviously they had the whole store issue. We saw what happened with the PS5 Pro. I think the same will happen with the Switch too. And because the thing is, everybody knows that when this is going to, we're going to find all the details about this in the next couple of days. Everybody knows because Nintendo told us a long time ago when they were going to release some more information about it. So I kind of feel like as soon as they announce the pre-orders, people are going to be anxious to get their hands on this. I hear a rumor that some of my fellow colleagues here on the Throwdown might be pre-ordering as well. So that should be quite interesting.
I have a feeling one of them is flying over the Atlantic right now.
Yeah, that's possible. That's possible. But no, I think regardless, just like Chris said, it doesn't matter what Nintendo does. People are definitely going to get their hands on this. They're going to be selling it at a ridiculous amount of money because even though they have an intent to do this on a large scale, I still think you're still going to have things happen where systems are getting in through the cracks and people are going to sell it for as much as they can. So, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Manny, you got any thoughts?
No, I mean, I think that whatever I agree more with Chris. So it's like, you know, yeah, flood the market with a bunch of them and so that there's just enough there's there. I mean, is it something that'll work? Well, it remains to be seen, you know. Well, obviously places like Best Buy and GameStop and all those places don't have like limits on how many that you can purchase from them. So we'll see.
I'd be fucked up if one guy goes to the GameStop and just buys them all and nobody else behind can get their shit. Let's say pre-order, I guess. You know,
the one thing about like brick and mortar stores is they don't have I'm sure you've noticed this, but like if you bought anything from them, like electronics and things or sort after things, especially they have this weird thing where they don't know how much they get.
Yeah, I know.
They're like,
that.
Oh, yeah. They're like, oh, we didn't get enough. I'm like, how come you didn't get enough? You made a fucking order. If you make an order, you should be able to tell how much you're going to get or how much is going to be, you know, sent to you.
Yeah.
Shouldn't you?
Yeah. I mean, you would think, you know.
I'm not, I don't work in a store or retail or anything like that, but I think there should be something there that says, hey, listen, we're sending this unless there's and they should know in advance, okay, you've ordered X amount of units, right, you know, to have stocked in your store, but they're all not going to get there right away.
Yeah.
People should be able to know that.
It's always been a weird thing. I don't get it.
You'll see a dumb situation and you walk over to the thing and they tell you, oh yeah, we only got two. You only got fucking two?
Yeah.
And you didn't know this? Like you don't, none of this stuff is in there. You know that there's going to be this big launch that's going to be happening and you only have two in stock?
It's fucking weird.
Anyway. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, man. Moving on here. Mob Hits got a couple questions. His first one is also one that Assyrian Air Force asked. So I'm combining them. Will there be any Xbox or PlayStation IPs shown at the Nintendo Switch 2 Direct? Maybe.
I mean, they were already show. They already did show. There's already three PlayStation games that are on.
They did, yeah.
On the Switch. Well, two of them were shown on this one, but there was another one that was a Vita game that was also, shown a while ago. And it's already been released, by the way.
Yeah.
And nobody cared.
Oh, man.
See how that works? Because you know what it is? It's because it's not like something like a God of War or anything like that. It's a Japan Studio Vita game that did okay. At best.
Yeah. What were the games? I know one of them was the golf game. Yeah. The other one was Patapon, the golf game. Yeah.
And then Freedom Wars is
there.
The
you
other
go.
One
there you go.
The
yeah.
Freedom Wars came out already.
That's crazy. So yeah. So yeah, I think that could happen. I mean, like you said, we already saw it happen. Now the real question will be which Xbox games might be shown.
I mean, Banjo-Kazooie is the easiest one to show.
That would be, yeah.
You know, Rare, you know, them finally, you know, putting out Banjo-Kazooie on a PlayStation, the Switch Nintendo console after all those years. Be kind of cool. You take the all three games, even that stupid Nuts and Bolts game.
Yeah. Yeah, the one everyone loved. But yeah, it's possible. Rich, what do you think?
Well, first and foremost, for PlayStation, there is one game that we can definitely expect to see on Switch. This is a game, and you know how PlayStation likes to release remasters and definitive editions. So I expect to see that Lego game coming to Switch 2. Yeah, that Lego Horizon game. Because they, I believe the other one has already came out with the game that you and I reviewed. So yeah, I do expect that to come to Switch 2.
I thought it was already on Switch.
For Switch 2, already. He's saying.
But I mean, 2. I don't know if they're going to do a multiple release on that. I think they're just going to leave that one alone.
Oh.
What is there to do to that game that would, you know, that warrants releasing a second version of it?
Oh, I mean, well, I was expecting them to release a definitive edition, since this is the PlayStation strategy now, remaster, definitive edition type of thing.
To be fair, though, yeah, no, Rich, I don't disagree with your logic, but considering that game didn't do very well, you know, I don't, maybe not.
It's not going to get it. But here, what I do think, and this is the conversation that had happened since, you know, Freedom Wars and Patapon and Everyone's Golf, or, you know, the Hot Shots Golf. They were saying, like, okay, if these are a bunch of Vita games or, you know, PSP games that are getting released from first party PlayStation games, would that mean that Gravity Rush would be one of the other ones?
Maybe.
One and two?
That'd be great.
I mean, It would be a good fit for the place for the Switch too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll have to see. Yeah, Chris, what do you think? Okay, go ahead, Rich, and then Chris will go next.
I was just going to say, as for Xbox, I do expect perhaps Grounded, all of those games that they've already released,
Hi-Fi Rush and all that. Yeah,
yeah,
Hi-Fi Rush. Wait, nope. They may not be able to do Hi-Fi Rush.
Oh, that's right.
Microsoft doesn't own Hi-Fi Rush anymore.
Dun, dun, oh, dun. Yeah.
So, I mean, granted, we could probably see it on a Switch, and regardless, even the company, the Korean studio that owns it, might decide to release it on there. So, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that's possible.
But yeah, Grounded, Sea of Thieves, maybe.
Sea of Thieves, yeah, definitely Sea of Thieves. And the one last comment I will make, because before you go to Chris, obviously, Ubisoft, every Ubisoft game available, because Tencent, they got to make sure they're getting, you know, their money's worth.
That's so there, right. You go. Yeah. All right, Rich, what do you, Chris, what do you think? PlayStation, Xbox games, you think it's possible we may see some?
Oh, I think definitely. I think you'll see. Like Sony seems to be licensed third parties.
Yeah, Bandai Namco, yeah.
So there'll be others. They're not going to give Nintendo current titles, except, like, I agree with Rich on the Lego one, but again, but they're not going to give them a God of War or Days Gone or any of those. So I would expect older titles. I expect, like, hey, we'll give you Siphon Filter. Nobody cares about that anymore.
I think they'll give them, I think maybe the Puppeteer might be a good fit, too.
That'd be a good fit, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
Xbox, yeah. I think anything that the Switch 2 can run will be on the main. If it can run Forza, they'll give. I would think everything would be open to them. That may even give them Xbox if they can get Game Pass, some kind of agreement to get Game Pass on Switch. That'd be pretty interesting.
Man, if they could potentially drop the Gears of War trilogy on there, yeah. I mean, why not, right? Adam would go crazy for sure. Shout out to Mr. Red Pill Sleeper Cell. Yes, listen to what he just said. Please hit the like button, you know, if you're liking what you're seeing so far. All right, another question here from Mr. Mob Hits. We're kind of done with the Nintendo stuff for now. And Chris, I want you to go first because you've worked for this company, even though you work for Nintendo as well. You know, Take-Two CEO recently said they're not promoting GTA 6 until it's much closer to launch in order to keep up the anticipation. Is Take-Two being too overconfident?
Well, he's treading a fine line. He doesn't want to step on the, you know, the cash cow that is EA5, right? He doesn't want to stop that residual income that's coming in from Shark Cards and all the participant events and stuff. But at the same time, you have to promote the game at some point. It depends on when it's launching. We don't have a launch date. We just have this year.
Yeah, this year.
Right? That's what we got. That's tentative, right? It could very well be next year. So I think that's why he's keeping that close to the chest and not really promoting it, because they want to keep pushing GTA 5 as hard as possible. Think, what else does Rockstar have out? This is not the Rockstar of old where they had Midnight Club and all these other games going on. It's just GTA 5. I mean, Red Dead Online is dead. Red Dead 2, people play it, best player. The only multiplayer thing they have, the only thing that has been generating revenue from Rockstar is GTA 5. So they don't want people to drop off or anticipate the next game. I would be very interested to hear how GTA Online is going to connect in there. Do you have to start over? Yeah. You know, that would be, that's a very careful thing to navigate. They better have something. Yeah, other than that, I think that it's a cautious move. It's not that it's like foolish or he's overconfident or anything. I have my other problems with the CEO. I think he is I thought Bobby Kotick was, say that.
Damn.
This guy's on another level. But that aside, I don't think it's an overconfidence in the game. I think the industry is also scared of it, right? They notice people pushing their releases around, trying to dodge it. Like, they don't want to launch around it. So that builds its confidence, right? If others in the industry are like worried about positioning themselves near the launch of GTA, then you know you have a, whether it's actually a hit when it launches, but you have to navigate that you don't step on your own toe.
Yeah, because he's saying like that he hasn't seen anticipation for anything this big. He knows it's going to be huge, but at the same time, he doesn't want to start putting out trailers right now and potentially killing the hype. So, but I'm like, if you already know it's like the biggest thing ever, what does it matter? You know, like,
well, because you start the hype train too early and you delay the game, then it falls off.
That's also true.
Holidays, that's the problem. Yeah,
because even though they're being very adamant about hitting 2025, it's also possible they could be delayed. You know,
hey, you know, the other thing to realize is that if they say, you know, they say this year, this could be in, you know, business talk and fiscal year. You know what I mean? They could release it at the end. Like, you know, end of this year, you know, end of the fiscal year, which is early next year.
Yeah, but they did say 2025. So, you know, we'll see. By the way, Dirty at Death Dealer. Yes. Like I knew who you were, but I forgot the name because obviously I see the uniform and everything and you've given us stuff to give out before. But yeah, I was mentioning you before. I was like, this dude is day one throwdown, bro. Like even before this iteration. So thank you for, you know, the loyalty to this podcast and thank you for your service to this country, sir. Thank you. All right. Go ahead, Rich. What are your thoughts?
Quick comment to make. So I agree with a lot of points that have been said. Obviously, Take-Two, this is definitely a cautious, I'm going to go along with what Chris said, it's a cautious strategy because obviously they've already announced Mafia. The next Mafia game is coming out this summer. They've already announced that Borderlands is also coming out this year. So clearly, they know everybody is waiting to see what's happening with Grand Theft Auto 6. But I do want to make this comment and say, we'll see what happens. I think it's very interesting that Mind's Eye game, which is made by the former producer at Rockstar, is coming out in June because they announced that the other day. And I thought that's very interesting. They made that announcement because people have been saying this kind of reminds me of GTA. So makes me wonder if this game is coming. It's obviously coming later this year. But when are they actually going to start talking about it? I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. Manny, what do you think about them, like, holding off on showing even another trailer to build up anticipation?
No, I definitely think I agree with Chris on this one. I think that, you know, they're trying not to poison the well. They're trying to squeeze as much as they can out of 5. You know, that's why they just released another version of 5 for, you know, like earlier, I think not long ago was for PS5 and Xbox. And then now they have one that, you know, they have the even more enhanced one that has ray tracing and everything that's on the PC. So no, they're going to squeeze that baby until the end.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. It's crazy, man. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. All right. Here's a couple questions here from Mr. Syrian Air Force. What do you make of Netflix leadership saying young people are not interested in the next generation of consoles? My first reaction to this was Netflix needs to mind its own fucking business, you know? But they do, you know, okay, here's the thing. I think the whole venture of Netflix making games is stupid. I don't think it should happen. But I do think the statement is worth talking about, even if it's coming from Netflix. I actually agree. I agree. We've had this discussion about toys. I think we're also going to be one of the few last generation that cares about consoles. You know, I think the next generation, then the younger guys behind us will care about consoles, but the younger kids probably won't. It's already happening, you know?
Yeah, they're already used to playing their games on cell phones, and they don't understand what latency is and all that other sort of stuff. As long as they're getting the illusion of them playing, even if it is slow, you know, they're still getting what they want. So yeah, I agree. The Netflix guy is right, but I don't think people are gonna be gaming on no Netflix Their platform is not even. I noticed that they've started putting their gaming section, above, you know, like on the main screen now, so people can easily find them. But at the same time, it's like, why play on there when you have so many other places to go? I do think that, you know, obviously there's a lot of kids that are playing on and cell phones and stuff, but there's also a lot of younger people that are getting into PC stuff.
Mm-hmm. And that's more game agnostic too. It's like, or you know what I'm saying? It's like you play whatever. Like, again, I'm talking about my youngest nephew. He doesn't talk about consoles. He talks about Fortnite. He doesn't care what platform it's on.
Where it's on, as long as he gets his Fortnite. Yeah.
But then my older nephew, you know, PlayStation ride or die. So I think those guys, like the mid 20-year-olds, they're probably the last generation that cares about that stuff, you know?
Yeah. I agree. But then you look at like Adam's son, who's younger.
Granted,
Adam's son is a bit of a different situation because it's Adam is his dad, right?
Yeah.
So he introduces him to all these things. His son doesn't like to play it on the Switch or on the cell phone because it doesn't control as good. So he likes playing it on the PlayStation.
Yeah. And I think that's probably what's going to happen, because I don't really think consoles are going to go away 100%, but because there will be those people that want the best controls, best like graphics and stuff, and you're not going to get that from streaming. Streaming, the games don't look as good. They have input latency. There's still going to be a market for that, but I think generally speaking, most kids growing up, I'm talking about 10, 20 years from now, are going to be like, I just want to play wherever. I don't care, you know? Mm-hmm. So I agree with that, but I wanted to make that separation because when we hear Netflix, we're like bullshit. But his statement is actually, I actually agree with his statement, even though Netflix gaming is stupid.
It's funny because it's like Netflix is making this statement like they have any space in that world. You know what I mean? They make a couple of games on there and nobody fucking plays them. Half the people don't even know it has a fucking gaming on it.
Yeah. No, so, I have to be reminded. I work in this industry. I need to be reminded of this shit every 6 months. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. They have that, you know? But again, that even though the source is dubious, the statement is correct, you know?
Yes.
Chris, what are your thoughts? Yeah. Everybody's talking tonight. There's only four of us, you know?
I do kind of agree with the statement. Two problems. Younger kids are only playing, like Manny said, either on mobile or they're on PC. Like, that seems to be the place they gravitate. And there's a overarching problem, and the Netflix people know this too. He has access to data, and sees how people, Netflix. So he's basing probably that statement off of the data. And one of the things he's probably noticing is how much people are consuming on mobile.
Yeah,
how much they could see a piece, and they can even see the demographic and see the age range. So he's seeing it's like probably the 18, if he's looking from like, I don't know, less than 18 or 18 to 25 or 24, whatever that demographic is, probably most of it is mobile and PC. They're not really firing up PS5 or Xbox or whatever to watch Netflix. So that's what he's probably basing it on. So I do agree with that. it is an issue because there's a disconnect. There's a lot of complaints in like the workforce and stuff that a lot of Gen Z graduates don't really know how to use a computer. Right?
Oh,
why would they?
They have phones. Yeah.
Yeah, so they don't know how to use a computer. They don't know how to type. There's a merit to what he's saying, even though it shouldn't be coming from him. I understand he has access to data. Netflix has been in this a long time with offering. They're the best at it. They get metrics, they get data, and he can look at it and see, like, kids aren't even consuming this stuff on console. Consuming it on mobile at all hours of the day and PC. So that's...
Yeah, it's a good point. All right, Rich, what are your thoughts, man?
So, this is a very interesting question and topic. Netflix games, when I went to Summer Game Fest last year, they had a couple of games there. Obviously, a lot of the stuff was stuff you can play on mobile devices. But then they also had a game that I'm very familiar with called Oxenfree 2, which is made by Night School Studios. That game actually is good. That game also was on consoles. And then I heard in February they actually laid off that team. So what I would tell Netflix games is that, he makes a valid point. There will always be an audience for mobile games playing on tablets as well. But it is their job to find out what games people actually want to play on these devices. Now, I know that Manny mentioned Adam's son playing Fortnite. My niece, who is 5 years old, has been playing Split Fiction on Xbox. She doesn't really play a lot of stuff on the phone. Obviously, if you give her a phone, she'll play some stuff. But mainly, she plays stuff on console. So obviously, there are different circumstances. I do believe, like I said, there will always be an audience for mobile devices. So yeah, what he said is somewhat correct. But I also think that his job as the CEO is to find games that will fit, that perfectly fit the platform. And I don't think that they found that yet. So they got some work to do.
I mean, the only game that seemed to work out for them was that Bandersnatch Choose Your Own Adventure type movie game.
Oh, yeah.
Thing. Yeah, that's right.
But, you know, made it, it's sort of like, you know, choose your own adventure, make your own thing, different things happen and try different things out. But I mean, it's like, I think that takes advantage of whatever what their platform is known for, mm-hmm. not actual games. You know?
Yeah. But yeah, no, again, we've been saying this for a while. Like, it's not going to happen tomorrow, obviously. It's not going to happen next generation. But there will come a time where consoles are not the thing anymore. They'll still probably be around, but they just won't be it, you know? We're one of the last generations that's going to remember stuff like console wars. It's just, you know, people are going beyond that now. All right, another one from Mr. Asir and Air Force. Which PlayStation IPs do you want Bandai Namco to resurrect? There's a lot of them, you know? Bring back Infamous. Why not, right?
They're not really resurrecting. They're just porting them.
They're just porting them, yeah. But that's the question, you know?
I mentioned before, bring back Siphon Filter.
There you go, Siphon Filter. Bring back Infamous, yeah.
I like Siphon Filter. Is somebody going to say what is going on with Bloodborne?
There you go. Imagine that. Which would be interesting because Bandai Namco pulls out the Dark Souls games and, you know, yeah.
Sorry. They published the Dark Souls games.
Yep.
So it'd be interesting.
That would be interesting.
Well, they didn't publish Bloodborne, though. Bloodborne was something.
No, they didn't, but they would be, if they were going to be starting, if their deal is what we think it is, it's just them porting games and putting them on other platforms. Theoretically, they kind of already, you know, it would be in their lane.
Bloodborne remastered forever. was it the 10th anniversary?
Yeah. It was 10 years. Yeah, 10 years. That's crazy. But yeah, we'll see. Again, this question is, I like the question, but it gets too speculative. So we'll see. But because we don't know the full reach of what Bandai Namco is allowed to port over, you know, we have no idea. So it's like, we can't be like, oh, bring back MotorStorm. We don't know. We don't know what the reach is. But
yeah, what's their deal look like with them?
But it is interesting that Sony's doing this. Because to me, that kind of raises red flags. You know, like, why can't you publish your own shit? It's yours. You know, I know this is not the same, But it's just like when Marvel started having IDW publish shit, I'm like, but you are a publishing company. Why are you having other people publish your shit?
Yeah.
You know, it's a little weird.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of red flags it's sending off for me right now, you know?
So far, it's smaller titles. It seems like it's a lot of their Japan studio titles so far. But
I agree, but again, and this is the question no one's asking. Why isn't Sony doing this?
I mean, that's a good question. Like, why do they not have the resources to do something like this?
Yeah, I mean, like, there may be something really wrong behind with PlayStation right now. I'm just throwing it out there because, again, it weirds me out that no one is asking such a basic question, you know?
Here's the thing. The only reason why the question's not being asked is because nobody gives a shit about those games.
Yeah.
People start effectively asking why when there's something that of significance that comes up. My guess is that a lot of these games are just going to come out under the radar. They're going to do whatever they're going to do, and then that's it.
Yeah.
But let's say if it's a bigger, well-known game, now you ask that question. It's like, wait, how come they can't do it?
I agree with everything you just said, but people should be asking this question now because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if the game is small or big. The question is still the same. Why isn't Sony putting their own games out? Why do they need another company to port their games? That is very weird.
The question is the same, but the thing is that it doesn't.
I agree.
Nobody's noticing it.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
You know, in other words, if it was a big, you're taking these sort of smaller titles that people cared about, but people didn't give that much of a shit about. So it's like, all right, well, we're here. Boom, we give it. But yeah, again, the minute that we start seeing, if they do start putting out bigger games, like more well-known games, that's when it starts to become a reflect. I didn't see any of those. So PlayStation guys losing their mind when Freedom Wars got put out on Switch, did they? They didn't give a shit, did they?
No, they didn't. And I'm already frustrated now because I know for a fact, Manny, in a year or two or three, whenever it happens, when a big game comes out and you see articles saying, why isn't Sony publishing their own games? We're going to be like, we asked you this 3 years ago.
Exactly.
You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Chris, get in here before I get more heated up, bro. Like, why isn't Sony publishing their own shit?
No, you make a very good point. I've been asking with, like you said, you brought up the Marvel stuff. I'm like, Disney's not publishing their other comics through Marvel. You have a publishing, you have one of the biggest comic book companies in the West, and you're going to IDW to publish like Uncle Scrooge and all this stuff. It's like, you own Marvel. it makes no sense. But with Sony, it's like, you have to wonder if they don't have the resources to put out these smaller titles. If it's like, it's not anything like, oh, Patapon's them or anything. They should have the resources to publish their own games. Licensing out to Bandai Namco doesn't really make much sense. Unless they have some kind of, I would assume, financial resource allocation problem, they can't do right. So they license right. So what that if Tony's concerns are valid.
Yeah, it's again, I've seen this with Marvel already, and the reason they had to license to IDW is because Marvel wasn't doing very good. Sony is supposedly the biggest game publisher out there, or one of them, right? They're beating out Xbox, and you know they're like neck and neck with Nintendo when it comes to publishing consoles and stuff. So you're telling me this company can't publish its own games? I don't know, man. That's fishy.
What if it's another situation? What if it's like they don't, we're a situation where Nintendo doesn't want to even give Sony a dev kit? Because if you notice that Horizon game also was not a first party PlayStation developed game, it was done through another studio.
Okay.
I mean, silly conspiracy, but maybe they don't want to give them a dev kit. And the only way they'll let them put their games out on other consoles.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
From their, put their games on their platform is if it's through another publisher or another studio.
A publisher that does have a dev kit. I mean, listen, all these theories are valid because we don't know. But I remember what happened with Marvel. This is raising the same red flags, you know? So we'll see. Thank you for the $5. Dirty Deaf Dealer, appreciate it. He goes, with inflation, gaming will take a hit. It could, you know. We'll have to see. All right.
He is.
Yeah.
Games cost $70 now.
Cost $70. I mean, well, that's artificial inflation, I call it. It's like, oh, we could all charge $70 now, you know. All right, Black Metal Gamer. another similar type of question. What other Sega franchises would you like to see the Yakuza studio resurrect? Same kind of question. I don't know. All that stuff. All the games they have in their arcades, like Space Harrier and stuff. Here's the thing. Sega is actually bringing back a bunch of their old classic stuff. It's just we haven't seen a lot of them yet. Like, I know they're bringing back, like, Altered Beast. They said they're bringing back Golden Axe.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Rich.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, yeah, it is tough to answer that question because, yeah, they did show us that the I don't know, what do you guys say, a montage of all the games, Crazy Taxi, stuff like that.
Yeah, that's right.
But I have a question for you, Tony.
Uh-oh.
As a fighting game fan,
yeah,
would you like Sega to bring back Eternal Champions and Fighting Vipers?
Absolutely. Eternal Champions, Fighting Vipers, and fuck it, Fighters Mega Mix. Let's go. Bring it all back. Yeah. Sonic the Fighters was not a good game, but bring that back too. Bring back fucking, oh my God. Yeah, you already said Fighting Vipers. There's another one they did, very Fighting Vipers-esque. Bring all that shit back. But I don't know, but they probably won't do it, annoyingly enough. But Bridge, you do bring up a good point, because I think if the Yakuza studio is going to resurrect the old Sega game, it will have to be something big. They're not going to do some 2D stuff. They're going to do, you know, some big marquee type of game. But yeah, maybe, who knows, if Virtua Fighter does well, maybe they will bring back Fighting Vipers, you know? but we'll have to see about that. But I think Eternal Champions would be a better one. Like, make that in, like, you know, like a modern fighting game, 2.5D and everything. Because I'm just to keep an eye. I love Fighting Vipers, but those characters were kind of boring, bro. You know, they didn't really have a lot of personality. Those Eternal Champions characters, they had some personality, you know? So if you could somehow keep that same kind of look, but obviously still keep it within the 2.5D realm, that'd be great, you know? We've already seen that it's possible. Thank you, Arc System Works, for paving the way. You wouldn't have shit like 2XKO without a game like, you know, Guilty Gear starting the wave, you know? But yeah, that would be good. Rich, you know what I would say? At least can I get a remaster of them? At least let's start off with that. You know?
They could definitely do that,
because they brought back Fighting Vipers and Virtua Fighter 2 to PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360, but we didn't get a port for a PS4, which is kind of annoying. You know, so bring all that shit back. The Virtua Fighter collection. Give me a Virtua Fighter collection. See, the Yakuza studio can at least do that. Give me a Virtua Fighter collection, all the original four games of 4, 5, you know? That'd be good. Maybe they could bring back Comic Zone.
Oh, I remember that.
Remember Comic Zone? Yeah. Yep. some of those treasure games, like Gunstar Heroes. That'd be a treasure. Is Treasure still around? I'm not sure.
They are.
Hey, there you go. Thank you, Jeffrey. That's the game I was forgetting about. Last Bronx. People forget about that game. People forget about that, you know?
That one didn't have a lot of it wasn't released in a lot of arcades.
No, it wasn't. Last Bronx, man. All right. Another one from Mr. Black Metal Gamer. Which past studio closures hurt you the most? You know, and this is inspired by the whole Japan studio being closed down. That's a good answer, by the way. That one was kind of bad. That was a big one.
But you know, essentially figuring out by the clues of what might have caused it by what Toyama said, and then finally hearing it from the course's mouth when Yoshida said, "Yeah, no, but the studio was just interested in making big AAA games, and Japan studio wasn't what they wanted."
Yeah, that's brutal. That hurt. I can't think of any other studios that close. I'm like, damn, that sucks.
I mean, there's so many like studios that are like, you know, there's some, you know, studios that had made classic games that had closed pretty recently too. So it's like, it's happening across. Ready at Dawn. That was one that hurt.
Yeah, that hurt. Yeah. Yeah. Because their God of War games were great, you know, and we liked the, you know, me, you and Chris, we liked the Order.
So it's Yeah, but obviously once they, to be honest, as soon as they got bought by Facebook, I sort of said that's the end for them, because Facebook doesn't give a shit about the history of them.
Yep.
Whenever those big companies buy companies like them, and I'm also afraid for Camouflage Games too. You know, the guys who made
Ryan Arkham Payton's games game, and yeah.
Ryan Payton Studio. I'm afraid for them too, because it's like if they were gonna like literally close down Ready at Dawn, because they needed to make it more profitable. Who's to say that they won't take Ryan's company too?
Yeah, I agree. And there are two upcoming closures I'm expecting. They would have hurt back in the day when these studios were mighty, but they won't hurt now. It'll actually be their comeuppance for falling into modern woke shit. I'm just gonna say it. When BioWare and Rocksteady close, I'm not gonna shed a tear. You know, they dug their own grave. You know, but it's a shame too. You know, Chris, you got any studios that hurt when they closed?
Well, I was pissed about the recent Monolith closure. But
yeah, that was really bad. That.
I mean, just to save Rocksteady, who's probably going to make a shit Batman game now. Hmm. And then they had wrapped up. And then this studio with a pedigree that was good up until now. I mean, the Shadow of Mordor and War game. How do you shut that down? It boggled my mind. I've been thinking about it. That's one I remember. I mean, been so many, but that one's
What about you, Rich?
Chris took the answer right out of my mouth. Monolith one, I think, especially because I do recall a while back, several years ago, when I went to PAX West for the first time, that Lord of the Rings game was like one of the first games that I played off-site. And after I had that appointment, I was like, man, I need to get more instead of off-site, so I ain't got to be in this convention center. But it was awesome experience, very laid back, very chilled, and I enjoyed their game. So it was unfortunate to see them get shut down.
Yeah, and we're probably gonna see more studio closures, so unfortunately. Last question of the night. And I probably should have done my research before this. We're so sorry about that. From Genobreaker 26, have any of you seen or heard of a new PC only 2D fighting game called Iron Saga Versus? It features giant anime robots fighting and a gameplay style similar to Guilty Gear. I have not, so let me look up this trailer and see what's up with this. Jeff, if you're still there, let me know if you've heard of that. What's the name of this shit? Iron Saga Versus. I'm guessing nobody else has heard of this shit either. We're all in the dark. Iron. So look at that. I swear these things are listening to you, bro. I went to my YouTube, I just wrote Iron, and then it filled out the rest. Like, the whole thing. I mean, I've never searched for this fucking game, bro.
It's sort of like it's 2D, but it's also kind of like, looks like Puppet. You know what I mean? Like, Flash game? Like, the way the characters look?
Oh, shit, Rufelmonger made a video about this. Oh, look, wait. Oh, sorry about you heard Rufelmonger. It's like a puppet, you said? I'm looking at it now, let's see.
Yeah, they kind of look like, you know, like, puppets, you know, like Flash games.
He goes, yeah, I mean, Rufel, yep, there you go, yeah, I gotta watch this. He goes, it looks mid. I see what you mean. I mean, yeah, it looks kind of flashy. Yeah, the animation, go ahead, man.
It's got Mazinger and a bunch of other robots in it. You know what it sort of looks like? Have you ever played the Super Robot Wars games?
I know about them.
It looks like those, where, in other words, they're like these sort of like really rendered sort of characters, and they're sort of like put together like by different pieces.
This is weird though, because they got Getter Robo. Like, these are actual characters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No.
This isn't oh my God, Jeffrey, what's the name of that fighting game with the toys?
Cyberbots?
No. Knockoff. It's not like Knockoff. Like, this, these are the actual characters.
It's got Getter Robo, and it's got a bunch of characters in it.
Mephisto, what the fuck? I mean, it looks kind of interesting, but I don't like the chibi style. That bothers me. Like, they're robots in a chibi style, you know? Yeah, mm-hmm. I kind of agree. It looks kind of mid. Mix of original and licensed. Okay. All right. I mean, I don't really have any thoughts on this. I'll watch Rufflemonger's video later. I don't really have any thoughts on it. But I don't know. But I will say this, though. I do think it's cool that a bunch of indie guys are making their own fighting games. A lot of them, actually. So that's kind of fun, you know? But obviously, results are mixed. 2XKO looks, I was watching some of that stuff, looks great, but obviously that's not an indie game. That shit is big budget, you know, because it's from the League of Legends folks. Looks very nice. Manny, I know you've seen some of that stuff, you know, yep, really nice animations. Cool. Here's what I wanted to ask you about that game, because like the animations, they look smoother than Guilty Gear animations, but they still do the cutting animation art style. You know what I mean? Like, you know how like older cell shaded games, it was just always 60 frames a second, always super smooth. So this one looks smoother than Guilty Gear, which is like obviously not 60 frames a second, but they still do cool stuff where it's like they do frames jumping and stuff. So it's like an interesting mix, you know?
They're for Guilty Gear, their character, well, the game is in 60.
Yeah.
It's just that the characters are running like half that.
That's what I mean. Okay, I just found a perfect analogy. Basically, Guilty Gear looks like, you know, like a anime, right? Like it's anime type of animation. And then 2XKO kind of looks like a Pixar movie or something like that, you know, or maybe even or even like a Disney hand animated thing, like a, you know, a Titan AD or something, you know. Kind of interesting how they do that. But it looks great. You know,
yeah, they're probably doing a half and half deal on it, because doing what Arc System Works does, especially for the last Guilty Gear, they're doing a lot of like the way they explained it in their GDC, show, you know, presentation is that every single frame is a keyframe.
Yeah.
So that means that each frame is literally being sculpted, you know, to look a specific way, as opposed to this one. I'm sure they're letting the computer do a little bit of fill in, you know?
Yeah. That's a great way of putting it. I think that's exactly what's happening. Like there's some animations you could tell it's just, you know, the computer doing this thing, but then there's other stuff like, okay, you could tell they handcrafted this, you know?
Yeah. So it's a half and half, because in order to I'm sure that's the biggest reason why all of the Guilty Gear characters take so long to sort of kind of, you know, come out.
Yeah.
Because they're pretty much authoring every single thing on those characters, as opposed to just a little bit here and there is just a tweened animation.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it looks good. Not Iron Saga, though. I don't know about that game. All right, let's start wrapping up here. I want to give a shout out real quick. I don't think the episode's up yet, but it should be, hopefully, by the time you guys are listening to this. So I, once again, joined my friend Mikel Casanova on his podcast, talking about fighting games, bro. Basically, what happened is him and I were talking on Twitter on Monday. Basically, and you know what, since I just realized we've only been an hour, so we could fill up a little bit of time. And Manny, you could jump in on this too. Somebody tweeted out the promotional poster for Marvel vs. Capcom 1, and I tweeted out, I said, I realize that Marvel vs. Capcom 2 is the more popular game, but I prefer Marvel vs. Capcom 1. I think it looks better because it's just pure 2D. There's no weird 3D backgrounds. I think the music's better. Doesn't have that weird jazz shit. And I like the fact that it has 6 buttons, right? And some people kind of, you know, went in the comments and something.
They went in on you.
They didn't go too hard on me, but they were saying, I prefer Marvel vs. Capcom 2. But Mikel came in. He's like, yeah, I'm the same way, man. Like, I prefer this art style better than Marvel vs. Capcom 2. And we were just going back and forth like, dude, let's just do a podcast. So we kind of got in there. We're just talking about, you know, kind of the way fighting games used to be versus how they are now and just our experiences and stuff. Because there's a lot of people that don't really, like, they don't go back. They just play whatever's new. They don't go back to no one. And I said this on the podcast, this is a problem that society in general has. You have access to all this stuff, but everybody's stuck in their little, like hole, which I am too. Admittedly, I'm also in my old school kind of hole. I will admit that. But people are, it's not like when we were growing up where we were watching shit from the 60s and 50s and 40s. That doesn't exist anymore.
The thing is that there's no place to present those things. That, you know, as much as people obviously don't like the portion of network TV where the commercial sides of it, there was somebody there to essentially curate what you were seeing, to essentially get you a start. If you just throw somebody into a lake and say, all right, here, go swim. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's so much available for you to, where do you go? Do you swim to the bottom? Do you, you know, where do you go to find the things you need? That's why I feel like one thing that is sort of needed is a sort of curation to where people could be like, no, hey, you know, that's why I think a lot of those top tens make really, you know, always do really well for a lot of websites and things, because people are looking for a place to begin. Like, oh, what are the best fighting games? Here's the top 10 fighting games, stuff like that.
Yeah, no, I agree. And then, you know, to that point, because obviously, you know, everybody here, we were there when fighting games started, right? But a lot of the younger kids, obviously, they started in, like, you know, with Street Fighter 4 or something like that. So they don't know the history, or they mean, this is something, you know, we talked about in a podcast. I call them Wikipedia warriors, where they just look at the history of the game through Wikipedia, don't understand what it was like to be there. For example, Marvel vs. Capcom 2 is the more popular fighting game now, but people forget, and this is the same deal with Street Fighter 3. When those games came out, nobody liked them, right? Marvel vs. Capcom 2, it picked up steam really fast eventually, like within maybe a month or two. People were like, okay, this game's actually really good. But Street Fighter 3, that game never picked up steam at all. You know, it wasn't until the fucking Evil Moment 37, people were like, hey, this game's kind of cool. But man, you remember when those games came out, all three iterations, nobody liked those fucking games. But if you were to say that now to somebody, oh, Street Fighter 3 is one of the greatest games of all time, what are you talking about? You know, some Wikipedia warrior that's read this shit. You know, go ahead, you're muted.
Hindsight is always 2020, but it's like those games, nobody cared about those games. And I feel like, that infamous moment, you know, when that happened, that was already clear into like 2020s.
Yeah.
You know, like that, you know, to 2000 something.
That was 2000. That was six. Yeah. It was 2003. That was what, 4 years after Street Fighter 3 had come out? You know, it's like, come on, man. Like, people, that's why it frustrates me arguing with people about this stuff. Like, you didn't understand how it was when Marvel vs. Capcom 2 came out. You weren't there. And I'm not saying you're stupid or whatever. It's just, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about, dude. Let the guy who was actually there, when Marvel vs. Capcom 2 came out, we were all like, what the fuck is this shit? Why are there only four buttons? What's up with this jazz music? What's up with those stupid backgrounds? Why are there only seven songs? Why do these characters look like crap compared to the previous game? You know, obviously the game redeemed itself, but with Street Fighter 3, Manny, you know, Top Hat Gamer, obviously, right? So he did a video years ago talking about the history of Street Fighter 3. He got a lot of shit, and people were, you know, and all he did was just tell you what happened, but he got a lot of shit because people were like, oh, this is one of the greatest fighting games of all time. Don't you realize what happened? Don't you know? Don't you remember? Evil Moment 37. He's like, I'm talking about what happened when the game came out. I'm not talking about the legacy of the game. I'm talking about what happened. You know, that game sold terribly, you know, and, you know, not only in arcades, but also at home, because there was only the Dreamcast was the only fucking system that had it. The Dreamcast. Yeah, and what do people forget about Dreamcast? That it was around for less than 2 years, bro, in America.
Yeah, and they had two versions of Street Fighter 3 that came out for it.
Yep.
It was the Double Impact, and then it had the third one.
Yeah, and Double Impact was the first two in one, basically, because it was new generation, you know. And then the other thing we talked about in a podcast, again, motherfuckers forget. Nowadays, obviously, Garou, Mark of the Wolves is highly considered one of the greatest fighting games of all time. Now, when it came out, what happened with that game? The same shit happened with Street Fighter 3. Where the fuck are all the characters I like?
who's this skinny dude
who's this Rock Howard, what is this? The only character, the only returning character was Terry, right? Again, nowadays, highly regarded game, it's a fantastic game, but back then people were like, what the fuck is this shit, you know? That's a whole other topic. I don't understand why fighting games keep doing this whole new generation shit. It's never worked. You know, when Street Fighter 3 did it, new generation, you know, a bunch of new characters, game fucking bomb. Mark of the Wolves, Soul Calibur 5, and I know I'm forgetting another one. It's like four instances where nobody likes this shit, you know?
Well, it's an interesting one because Tekken kind of did it, and they still continued to move forward.
Yeah, Tekken, they did it in a weird way, but they didn't get rid of everybody, you know?
Rid of everybody, but like you see, like, okay, why isn't Paul in this game? Okay, why, you know, Law is his son who fights exactly like him.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah, and there was another guy that was like a Taekwondo dude. Like, there was another guy in the Law is the, you know, Bruce Lee dude. You know,
no, Ho Wong.
Ho Wong, yeah, like a replacement. He's a replacement character. Yeah. But Tekken did it better because it wasn't just a whole cast. But again, dudes forget this stuff. They don't realize, you know, or not forget. They just don't know. They look it up on Wikipedia, then they think they know more than you, even though you lived it. You were there, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, Otaku, man. People gave Garu all kinds of shit when it came out. Yeah, because people were like, where's Andy? You know, where's all these characters?
And you were lucky if you could ever fucking find that game. Mm-hmm. I've never seen that fucking game in an arcade ever.
Yeah. That Garou Mark of the Wolves, I knew about it. That was it. I never saw it. You know, and Street Fighter 3, Manny. I maybe saw it once. You know,
I saw it.
Yes, when it was three.
It was just three. It just said three, and it was like, this isn't. What is this? This is weird. Like, why isn't it called Street Fighter 3?
Yeah. I remember that. See, dudes don't remember that shit. You know. So yeah, go check out the podcast. I'll link it. You know, when it's up, I'll retweet it. Obviously, I don't think it's up yet. He's probably doing some editing, but good conversation there. And Rich, what's coming up on the Coalition this week?
Oh well, there's quite a bit of things coming up. First and foremost, we'll give a shout out to our senior editor, Mr. Adam Vale. I actually helped record a show earlier for Reacher with him and Lawrence. They actually will be having another show of their own. Well, they have their own channel. We're going to let you know what that is. Go to YouTube, look up the TV Terminal, and they're actually going to be covering other TV shows on that channel. So definitely check it out. Subscribe if you're curious to hear their opinion on various shows. As for the Coalition, a lot of gaming things are happening this week. We are going to be having some coverage of certain things that are happening regarding the Switch 2. Adam has been working on a review for a game that is coming out later this week. And I can confirm, as I mentioned on the previous show, I am reviewing South of Midnight. I actually completed that earlier today. So I will let you know my thoughts about that on Thursday. Outside of that, there's a couple other things I'm working on. They're still under an embargo, so I can't talk about it yet. But just stay tuned to the Coalition. There's going to be quite a bit of things getting posted up this week.
Lots of stuff. And man, you want to plug the comic, and you're muted.
Yes. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 7's out. 8 is out. And Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Naruto is out. All covers are by me and Kari Randolph and myself. And yes, I will be at C2E2 year. So that's coming coming very soon. The 11th. I'm going to be out there in Chicago doing my thing. So hope to see y'all there if you're in town.
Good stuff. All right, man. So we'll be back on Thursday. Obviously, this is going to be a big show. We're going to be breaking down everything that happened with the Switch Switch 2 Direct. You know, I think that's going to be pretty monumental. Carlos should be back, so that's pretty huge. And obviously, we'll be back with Monster Hunter this weekend. The first title update. They're going to release the first piece of content, which is I'm forgetting the name of the monster, but it's the Bubble Monster, the Bubble Dragon, as I call them. So that'll be fun. And then obviously we're just going to keep streaming every weekend, man. I think we scaled it back to Saturday. That seems to be a good day, but maybe this week we'll do Friday too. Cause of the new monster, but I think Saturday is a locked day, you know, Manny's usually available, which is always fun. You know, the voice of God was there, and shout out to Dio. Illustrated Dio joined us last night. Lots of fun with him. And Sub Gator was there too, as always. Making, you know, doing his Jagon impersonation. Otaku Man said he got his invite to C2E2. Maybe you'll see him out there, Manny. That would be good.
Uh-oh.
Whoa.
The meeting of the legends will finally happen, potentially, you know? Be good. All right, man. So we're done here. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Follow us on YouTube. Join the Discord. Check us out on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight, I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
And Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good week, everybody.
All right, guys. Later.